Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My name is Alexandra De Palma.
My name is Dennis Norris II.
My name is Fran Tirado.
My name is Joseph Osmondson.
And we are food for thought. And this is why are people into that?
So we should retune
it.
Welcome to part two of episode 47 of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that don't hurt. This month's guest is Sex Ed A Go-Go host Dirty Lola. In part two, Lola describes the surprising shapes that bruises can take. Save the date for June 16th, when I'll be returning to the Lesbian Sex Mafia at the New York LGBTQ Center. If you're in Austin, Texas, I'll be teaching at Camp Ravish the first weekend in June. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Visit whyarepeopleintothat.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Acast and iTunes. Take a few seconds to write a review and tell your friends about the show. If you listen to Why Are People Into That and would like to help me stack some paper, pledge my Patreon. That's patreon.com/TINAHORN. So, without further ado, get ready for a rush of endorphins as you tune in to part two of Why Are People Into Masochism? Can you talk to me about bruises?
They're magical things.
What's magical about them? Because, you know, most people think of bruises as bad things.
As bad things. I love bruises. So there are many things I like about bruises. I like that they are reminders of the fun things that I've done when it comes to pain. Mm-hmm. I like their shapes that they take that you never know. It's like a surprise. You never know what you're going to get. I like when I get hit with new things, seeing what kind of bruises they'll make. I like the depth of bruises. I tend to heal quickly, which is like boo.
That's
for
convenient.
Bruises.
Oh, okay.
It is convenient, but I also get super sad about it.
Yeah, like, somebody can just hit you again.
Right. But I had some delicious bruises on my arms from some bites, and they went away way too quickly for me. I kept looking at them every day to see what color they were changing and poking at them. And then I looked and I'm like, oh, you're gone already. It's just something. They're like badges of honor.
Yeah.
And they're so pretty. I just love the colors. And I don't know. It just, there's just something about them. And I'm sad when I don't bruise.
Mm.
Like my butt doesn't bruise. My boobs bruise. Any like fleshy, like between my thighs bruises really easily. My boobs bruise really easily, but my ass is like a rock, and you have to really, 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 really hit me. Like usually if I get hit with metal, I'll bruise. Or super hard paddle, something. That's what bruises me, but it takes a lot on my butt. And then the butt bruises go away so much quicker than anything else, and it's sad. And I'd rather the bruise. Like, I hate when I'm in pain after a scene and the pain feels good. Like, you know, getting up and you feel that spot and then realizing that it didn't bruise. I hate that. It's like, if you're going to hurt, at least have a bruise. Like, you achy spot. Damn you. Damn you.
Yeah.
They could only be better if they were glittery.
Oh, that would be so nice.
They sparkled in the sun.
Oh my god. I would, yeah, I hope people like invent glitter tattoos. I can't wait to get glitter tattoos.
That would, yes.
I understand that's not how light works. Right, but
yeah. Something.
Yeah, come on.
We need it.
Yeah, I also feel that way about bruises. And it's something that can make you feel close to someone if you're not with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that bruises are a nice embodiment of sadomasochism because it's a sign that your body has experienced something, but in general, a bruise is not damage.
Right.
In general, a bruise is not like something is, literally blood vessels are broken, but blood vessels can take a licking and keep on ticking, right? They heal.
Right.
And so it's sort of an embodiment of the fact that erotic pain play can influence your body, but not destroy you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I like that. It's just, yeah, they're I'm going to keep saying they're magic. There is, it makes me giddy. Like yeah. I get excited when I think Bruce is coming in or when I leave a scene and already I'm bruising.
Yeah.
And I think it also for me, cause I talk about my stuff so much. I look at bruises as icebreakers.
Cute.
Because I tend to be in open spaces where somebody will go, oh my God, what happened? Oh, let me tell you. Somebody beat the shit out of me consensually and it was amazing. And sometimes people are like, oh, and they back away slowly. And sometimes it sparks the, oh, you're into that? Oh, can you tell me more about it? And I enjoy that. Again, I like being people's gateway.
That's cool.
To things. I like that it starts those conversations because I think you get, especially with kink, we all worry about, like, is somebody going to think I've been abused?
Of course. Well, you know, because I mean, that's abuse is very fucking serious.
It is. It's very serious. And it's, I like having that opportunity to kind of clarify.
Yeah.
That it's not like, I see you eyeing my bruise.
Yeah.
This was consensual and it wasn't. Or like going to the doctor. I never worry about it because I'm like, my doctor, this is a great way for me to talk to my doctor about me being kinky.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like, let's give me a bruise before I go to the doctor so we can have this conversation. Because it's a little bit easier than just going, so, hey, doctor, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Well, you're working hard for all of us. That's amazing.
So this ties into what we were talking about before we started,
mm-hmm.
about getting all dressed up and
yeah.
like shoes
oh.
and things like that.
Now, what relationship could shoes possibly have to pain?
Oh my goodness, the wrong shoes or the right shoes or the right shoes and what they do to our bodies. That is something where I feel like it's that masochist bit in me that I need. It's better if I'm doing it for somebody else. Like the getting super dressed up and putting on the extra high heels and doing all that, this thing, because I know it'll please somebody, but I also know that it's gonna fuck up like my whole everything to be like that all day long or all night long. And like, when can I get out of this? And it's the endurance, it's all kind of mixed in there.
Yeah.
And we don't think about it that way, but it very much is like when you get dressed, even putting like your Spanx on.
Oh yeah.
Is an act of masochism.
No kidding.
Or your corset or anything like that. When we all put our bras on, well, not all of us, those of us who wear bras, put them on and venture out. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say pretty collectively, I think we all make that same noise.
Oh, yeah. The sigh of relief.
Every day. And every day, what do? We put it right back on and we go out into the world.
Okay, so hair pulling.
Hair pulling.
You know, I'm a big proponent of the like base of the head mm-hmm. hair pull. It like it makes it combines the pain with like the sensuality of like the sensitivity of the back of your neck. Mm-hmm. You
slapping.
Know. Oh, face slapping.
Yes.
Always highly emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. Also, now I'm just going into like education mode. Always make sure when you are doing face slapping that you check in with someone and maybe even have a conversation
yes.
before the heat of the moment. And also like it's always a good idea to put your hand on the other person's cheek than the one that you're slapping to absorb the blow so that they don't get whiplash.
Oh my goodness.
It's a lot
yes.
of very delicate stuff going on in the face. Some people mm-hmm. use it to make their living. So yeah.
Right.
But face slapping also in its intensity and it really honestly like doesn't even need to physically hurt that bad to bring up feelings of humiliation.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's why it's the like classic
it's the thing,
you know, drama queen reality real housewives of
everybody slaps
Chinatown my daughter my sister, you know, the just like the face slapping and you know it's something that even if you don't have as much physical strength, if you can slap someone in the face and really like hurt them deeply
mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
but also
emotionally like dig right. in there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Even when I know that I've said like I'm okay with slapping, that there's always like that moment where like I'll be like, oh my God. Like
yeah.
I've gave permission for this and I'm cool with it and I like it. But no matter what, I usually those first couple slaps, like it's jarring and it's very like I almost want to cry. And I'm like,
of course,
what did I do wrong?
But I do have to say it actually. I mean, it's such a mind fuck, right? Mm-hmm. Because thinking about like basically everything that we're talking about right now, I'm like fantasizing about it as we're talking about it, and or like fantasizing about like what kind of person do I want to do that to me, or like what was the best time that was ever done to mm-hmm. me, and like fantasizing about somebody slapping me in the face actually feels really connected to what you were saying before about wanting to take something because you know that it's something that somebody wants to do.
Right.
If somebody gets off slapping you in the face, that's not just some vague desire. That's an intense desire, and not everybody is going to give you that.
Right.
So I have to say, I get off on being like, yes, slap my face, because I like experiencing that person's satisfaction that they get to do this thing. And also... Right. Going back to the test of endurance thing, I like being like, yeah, I'm the fucking toughest, baddest bitch. I'm the one, like, you could slap me in the face. Is that all you got? That,
yeah.
That turns me on.
Yeah.
So anyway. Mm-hmm. So choking, choking, I guess, is sadomasochistic, but it's like its own category. It's like yeah. kind of because the idea isn't really about pain.
No.
It's about control.
Right. I guess that also ties into a little bit like breath play.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is about control sometimes causing fear, which in its own
yes.
way is a...
is like connected to pain.
Pain, right, and can be this... thing.
It's a discomfort.
Right.
It's distressing. Right? So like but it also the fight or flight response, right? The like sympathetic nervous response of fear, and also like what often happens from pain is very similar physiologically to arousal, right?
Right.
Like quickened heart
rate,
quickened pulse, heightened heart rate, like adrenaline, sweat. You know, perspiration.
That whole thing. It's very much so.
Intensity, right? Because you like focus. Because you have to when you have that kind of involuntary nervous response. It's about either like tuning in or tuning out.
Right.
Right. Like like your body is like whoa whoa whoa. We really need to concentrate because we need to like run away from this bear.
Right.
You know. It's Masturbation May at the Pleasure Chest. Join the email list at pleasurechest.com to get info about fun Masturbation May giveaways, as well as updates on free sex ed programming. For example, there's masturbation-themed classes happening at all three Pleasure Chest stores across the country on Wednesday, May 17th. In Los Angeles, Elle Chase is teaching mutual masturbation, give yourself a hand. In Chicago, Tanya is presenting the Ultimate O, Self-Loving Edition. I think you all know what O stands for. And still on that same day in New York City, Greer will teach you how to expand your orgasm through solo play. Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. They support their community's sexual growth and exploration by pioneering a sex-positive culture with an emphasis on education, enjoyment, and inclusivity. So, how will you celebrate self-love this Masturbation May? Maybe the Pleasure Chest can give you a hand.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I don't even know if I can say I have a kidnapping fetish because I haven't been kidnapped yet. But I would like to be consensually kidnapped.
Yeah.
But I can't role play kidnapping. I've done it. It doesn't do. I need it to be like a surprise job. Like, I've given a few people blanket consent to make it happen. I want fear and adrenaline in that way. And then the other things that'll come as part of, like, you know, because I'm kidnapped and, oh no, what will you do to me? But like,
there's all kinds of reasons to kidnap someone,
right? Yeah. So, but I've given that, and then I tried doing like kidnapping role play, and it was because I knew it was, and I'm like, it's not working. I was so disappointed.
That's interesting.
I wasn't afraid enough because it wasn't real enough. Like, I need it. I need it to be real.
So you have like intense kidnapping fantasies.
I do. And I've given, like, I have people that I'm like, I know you do this.
Yeah. Oh, people do.
So make this.
People stage them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know they do. So I was like, listen, I would like this. I want to talk to you about this because I need this to happen, but I don't want to know details because I really don't. Yeah. I would like there to be like some moments where I really don't know what the fuck is going on. And that sounds dangerous. I know everybody, there are people out there like, what is wrong with you? But yeah, I am that kind
of. No, I think there's just as many people listening that are like, yes. Or I could do that for her.
Right. I could totally. But don't just do it. Like, it needs to be consensual.
Of course.
I'm not giving blanket consent to everybody listening. Don't just pop up and shag and try to, like, drag me. Because I will fight you. That's the other thing is, like, I kind of like the fight or flight. And I'm a fighter.
Nice.
So it's like that knowing that I am going to fight. If I don't know, if I know we're just playing around, I'm not going to.
I recently had an experience where I was, let me just summarize and say that I was put under at the hospital for medical reasons. And even when I was unconscious, apparently I was very combative, which I'm very proud of.
You're like, I was fighting even.
I like woke up and they were like, well, you might be a little sore tomorrow because... really put up a fight. I'm like, yep, you're goddamn right I did. Anyway, TMI. So do you want to talk about tit torture?
Oh my god.
How do you feel about it?
I feel like it's a thing that happens a lot to me because I have such big boobs and they're like squishy and wonderful. I don't feel adversely to them. I think I realized that. So in the beginning, I didn't have feeling in my my boobs, my nipples for the longest time. I had like some trauma in my childhood that as an adult equaled me not feeling parts of my body. And actually kink was something that helped me regain that.
That's amazing.
It's amazing and it's wonderful. And like, I am all about folks who at all are exploring kink as a way to process trauma. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. But now they're so sensitive that, because back in the day, it was more of a like to get that amount of pain to where my brain was like registering as pain, but also registering it as pleasure would be so intense that I could take a lot more. But now, because everything is kind of back to like, well, let's not say normal, but now I register like pleasure and pain and everything. So now it's, I'm kind of, I give up a little bit easier when it comes to my boobs. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yellow.
So is this like groping or like smacking of the tits or like breast bondage, which is a kind of bondage that can often be very, more than other kinds of bondage can like produce like intense sensations.
I like, so things that are harder for me to take are like hard groping, slapping. Those are things that kind of I need to work up to that. And if I haven't been worked up to it, it's a little bit like, oh
yeah.
But I do like nipple, like clamps and rubber band, things like that.
Clothespins.
Things, right. Because it's a thing that kind of ramps up and how much it starts to hurt.
Yeah.
That I enjoy and can take a little bit more.
Even though, like, when the clamps come off, it's so fucking intense.
It is. And then the thing, I had a really long scene. I did, like, a photo shoot, and it was actually, like, a scene being photographed. And we did a whole thing.
Cool.
And that, my nipples got so worked over because there was a lot of, like, there was breast bondage plus clamps plus, like, all these, putting clamps on pins like to make it tighter and then taking them off, and then it was like oh freedom, and then putting them back on 10 minutes later.
Ugh.
Right. And so by the end of it, like, I was in tears because they were so sore, and then like sore nipples plus clamps and things, and there was this moment of like, I'm whining and I'm like just and it was like, oh, you're whining, oh. And then I got clips put on my lips.
That's what
to keep my mouth shut and to not have them pop off. But at the end, afterwards, I realized like this was like amazing. But in it, I'm just like, I would like this to stop. But my brain, there's this part of your brain that's like, just say fucking no. Like, say red, they'll stop. And the other side of your brain is like, you say something, I'm gonna be so angry with you. Don't you dare.
I mean, that is an interesting part of what it means to be a consenting adult, right?
Yeah.
Because consent seems so simple. Why the fuck can't anybody figure it out? Why can't collectively we figure it out?
Right.
But part of the reason that we can't seem to all figure it out is that the truth, we all know it, is that there are all kinds of warring sides to us.
It's like the angel and the devil on your shoulder. It really is. Like those cartoons when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course.
But it really is that. There are like those different sides of your brain that are like talking to each other or fighting with each other because it's that common sense that if you're in pain and it's hurting, you should stop. And then there's this primal want and need to take it and to not say stop. And that animal part of us that's just like, oh, like, yeah. And they argue with one another because it's complex.
Well, and that argument creates a tension that is part of the excitement, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that I feel like part of being a consenting adult is that you understand that you are the master or mistress of your own domain, that you are ultimately in charge of this angel and this devil, or the person saying no and the
person saying, let's go, to paraphrase Christina Aguilera. Right. that you understand consequence and that some things are worth doing. And this goes back to the marathon allegory. This goes back to the idea of tests of endurance, that some things are worth experiencing for the feeling that you are going to have afterwards, that feeling of pride at what you endured, the satisfaction of having the bruise, the intimacy and connection that you have cultivated with your partner or partners or the group of people that are doing things to you, which you're blindfolded and you have no idea where you are because they kidnapped you consensually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just even the fact of, like I was saying before, about having that picking, like I consciously have chosen a partner I trust implicitly.
Yeah.
And who's gotten to know me as my masochist body and what I like.
Yeah.
To the point where he knows, he can see that that wince wasn't a wince of joy, that I'm maybe moving in a way and I'm maybe like getting a little too whimpery, and it's helping to know that I have backup, because I do have a problem stopping when I am in pain, because I don't, sometimes the animal is getting too far. And it's also that this goes back to like the sadist of like, I'm enjoying hurting you, but if I'm really hurting you, if I'm harming you, I don't want to harm you, and that's not going to feel good. So also having like that pull and give and take with somebody.
But you also, as a masochist, want a sadist who can really dish it out.
Yes.
You, you know, there's nothing, I mean, I don't want to say there's nothing worse, but you know, it's also very frustrating.
You don't want to, did I hurt you? Should I stop? Please don't say that to me.
Wait, is this degrading? No. Is this thing that I like bad for you? You know, this thing that you asked for, is this bad? You know, is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? You know, like, you know, there's a reason that, you know, certain fantasies of domination are very popular even among people who don't know as much as we do or have as much experience or community connection as we do to BDSM. Like, there's a reason that those ideas are popular. You know, people want to be ravaged.
They do.
You know,
and I mean, even when he is being like, I think I described it, he might sound a little like, oh honey, there was no oh honey, it was bitch, what's wrong? And I'm just gonna stop. You want to put your panties on and go the fuck home? Oh, tell me. Okay, it hurts. I'll stop. Get on your knees and suck my dick. Like, it wasn't a soft moment. There wasn't a, we weren't having a snuggle bug moment. I'm smiling around his dick because there was this, at no point did he make me feel weak. At no point did he make me feel like I was being coddled. And there was like, I'll stop doing this, but you're not done. And that is like the art of taking care of somebody, taking care of yourself, and not breaking the moment, which is just fucking magic when it happens. Because I think that's what we all struggle with, is I don't want to blow the moment. And we get that so much when it comes to consent. People are so like, consent's not sexy and I don't want to blow the moment. And I'm like, then you're not doing it right. Because you can, I mean, the first time he pushed me up against the wall in an elevator, he didn't know if I liked it. And so he just kept walking closer and closer to me while he talked to me in a really low growling voice of, do you enjoy being slammed against the walls of elevators? And he was just coming at me like a shark, and he wasn't touching me, and he hadn't done anything, and I'm yes, bam. And he waited, but it was a baited moment of like, had I said no, I'm sure he would have smoothed into something else that would have been equally sexy. But that moment didn't feel like, oh wait, so wait, how do you feel about elevator walls and being slammed into them?
But that actually is implicit in in him taking his time. Anyway, listen, thank you for that. You know, sometimes there are moments when people are on my couch and they're going off, and I'm just like looking at them, and I'm like, yes, my microphone is in your hand and we are getting this on tape. This is so magnificent. So thank you for that. That's very profound.
Yeah.
And really hot.
It is. It's really hot. And yeah, it's, I feel like you learn so much from doing these things. Like masochism is, I've learned so many lessons about myself and cool. so many other parts of my life too. Like when things start feeling really hard, like with work or like the world is too much, and I'm like, no, bitch, you can take this.
Oh my God.
Somebody beat you with a bike chain. Exactly. Yesterday. You can
exactly. Yeah. I mean, thank you for saying that. I feel exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. For me, ultimately, sadomasochism is a chance to practice and subvert all the pain of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and you know, and then you see it coming, you are ready to have grace. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like when you, like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but like I, like, once was like on a hike with some friends, and we like stopped for a while, and like one of my friends like climbed a tree, and she's like a very good tree climber, but then for some reason I don't remember, she like fell as she like started to feel herself falling. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that far, but she like started to feel herself falling, and she like yelled out at us, and my other friend went and like kind of broke her fall a little bit, but also like she knew it. Just this one experience has really stuck in my mind, is the time that somebody like knew that she was about to fall and like had enough like grace and experience that she knew to just kind of like let her body go. Mm-hmm. A little bit. And she was like a little bit, you know, like scratched and bruised up, but she didn't break anything.
Right.
And like part, you know, it's you, if you're able to like breathe through, not panic and tense up, and like fall with grace, like it actually can like save you from being destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's true emotionally as well. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, it, you know, you can see power trips coming and you're like, no, this is a game to me.
Right.
Like you think that you can like do this real thing. Like
I
see the man behind the curtain. Right.
Right. Or like if I found recently, like with breakups and people doing, and I don't feel as traumatized as I used to.
Totally.
I feel like, not that I don't feel a little bit dinged up afterwards and like a little bit tender, but like I used to feel like, oh man, I've been demolished. Yeah. And as I've grown into like my masochist self and like how much I can take and stuff, it's more like, okay, bitch, you learned a lesson.
Yes.
Suck my dick. No, like it's like, like you learned a lesson. Get the fuck up.
Yeah.
Tread a little lighter.
Yeah.
Next time, take a little more time. Do what you need to do. But it's right. I'm not demolished.
You can survive this.
Yeah. And knowing that. And that's
no, like, and also knowing it in your body.
Right. Right.
You know, you
like really,
you have a deep like body memory of having, you know, in a controlled setting with someone that you trust,
right,
when you're also building intimacy where there also might be other kinds of pleasure involved, like wrapped up in the pain.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Thank you for speaking on that. That is like, that's something that means a lot to me. I feel
Yay.
You
yeah.
I've spoken about this before, but I fucking hate nipple clamps on me. I love torturing other people's nipples.
Right.
I mean, if somebody likes to be tortured in most ways, then that brings out the sadist in me. Because that, the inverse is true of what you were saying about like enjoying, sort of, like bottoming from the top, like service sadism.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love torturing people's nipples. I love like stretching them, you know, like.
Do you think you love it so much because you hate it so much?
No, I mean, maybe. I guess so.
Like for you, it translates into you knowing how much it hurt. Like it actually is.
Yeah,
like
but I know that it feels different to other people than it feels to me, because like if I'm spanking someone, then it's all about like, ooh, like what's your experience of this thing that I know exactly like what I like about it and blah, 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 blah. Because like what somebody, even if I'm giving somebody exactly the spanking that I would want, that doesn't mean that they're experiencing in the same way, because people are different.
Right.
But when it comes to nipple pain, I think that I'm fascinated by observing and experiencing somebody enjoying a pain that I hate so much, which, by the way, is like, you know, a joke I've told a million times is like, the first time that I ever had like nipple clamps like on my nipples for 20 minutes and then taken off, which if anyone has ever had this experience, what happens is that the circulation, circulation gets cut off by the clamp.
Right.
And then you take the clamp off and the blood rushes back into your nipple. And it's, I know I've used the word excruciating a few times, but it's a, I like fell to my knees. And it was like, is this what people who aren't masochists about anything think that the erotic pain that I like is like? Because mm-hmm. I literally was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why would anybody do this? I obviously understand that people are different, but my visceral reaction was like, this is inhumane, you know? As opposed to all the other depraved shit that I'm like really into. So yeah, so everybody's different, and just because somebody likes one thing doesn't mean that they like another thing.
It's very true.
And who knows, maybe I'll wake up one day and be like nipple pain all the way, but
maybe
I don't think so.
No.
I do love like groping breast torture though. I love like that.
I yeah. like it. It's I think also
it, we have very different sized breasts.
We do. Mine are like more than handfuls. Mm. I think that's also why I kind of like it, because I always feel like somebody's trying to like put all of my boob in their one hand, and I'm like, you're not gonna do that. What are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
I've definitely tried to fold it in half. I've definitely tried to fit some tits in my mouth. That, you know, it's like one of those lovely like yeah. impossible tasks.
You're like, you're smothering like, me.
Yeah.
Yes, but in the best way. Yeah, like I like the gropey. I like it. I can take my pain so much more when there's like this closeness and not like, so being someone coming up behind me and body pressed against mine versus like a frontal groping, like going at it. But it's like my brain is basking in like this other piece of joy and it almost dulls the pain in a way that
it's just
different
drugs
warring with each other within your body. I think that's what it is too, because you're just so so wait, question.
Yeah,
do you like sex with your pain?
Yes.
So I don't like, I could wear clamps and be fucked or have like something happening, even like maybe more thuddy spanks or groping during sex, but if it's sharp, like it takes me out of my head, because I'm in a different head for sex than I am for pain. And I find that like I'll be really getting into like almost orgasm territory and somebody will give me like a hard crack across the ass and I'm just like, well, fuck it, you fucked that up. If your aim was to make me not come, well, you did it, mister. which could be part of it, which, you know, but that, yeah, that I like the pain. I love sex like right after a heavy scene.
Yeah, I guess that's my preference too. Yeah. Although I think it is connected to if somebody's doing it like willy nilly because they're trying to like throw everything in,
right?
Not so much. But if I know that somebody is like, as they're like getting into fucking me, if they're like really into like doing XYZ, then I'm into that.
Or like you couldn't take it anymore because like hurting me was just so hot for you that you just gotta like put your cock in me, like, let's do it. Okay, like, I'm there for that. I also like, I think this is where like different kinds, so like I like choking and breath play during sex as a part of sex,
yeah,
versus like without it, it kind of feels like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Well,
right,
you know,
now?
And to answer your question in another way, I am so fond of sadomasochistic scenes that don't involve sex and are with people that I actually am not even that interested in having sex with.
Mm.
It's like a complete like sex, like it's like a complete erotic act unto itself,
right?
And to me it's like a great, like a sadomasochistic scene, whether it's a spanking or some other kind of impact play or piercing or I actually once got this incredible, like, I got like double teamed by two like licensed massage therapists who are also kinky, and it was in a kinky space. So it was like very explicitly like not a professional session. And they just like knew exactly how to dig into my entire body, which I mean, honestly, if I could get that done like once a week, I don't even know. I truly loved that. And by the way, it was in an outdoor play weekend space that I could literally scream as if I was being murdered, and everyone was like, oh, you know, it's like, it was like a place where like scream, like, you know, like, psychotic screams echoed everywhere, right. You know? Yeah. And afterwards they were like, do you want to fuck? And I was like, it's not that I'm not attracted to you, but I just like, that was its own
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I've left plenty of, like scenes and things without having had sex or, you know, actually usually the person I play with, we don't usually like have like penetrative sex. There might be like a Hitachi involved. Mm, yeah. And sometimes I don't orgasm, but I like go home super, super satisfied and I need a nap.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm going to like take a shower and go to bed. Yeah. Because it is its own thing unto itself a lot of times. It can stand alone.
But also sometimes it goes good with some fucking.
Yeah. Especially if it's like the right kind of scene, it's just feeding into it.
And yeah.
Yeah. Like I think when I do my kidnapping, I'm going to ask for fucking.
Great. I can't wait. Will you come back and tell us all about it?
I will. Don't do that show with anybody else.
I promise I won't. Lola, it's been the opposite of painful talking to you about pain. It's been really nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people who are curious about exploring their masochistic side and don't know where to start?
Ooh. Start by hurting yourself. Don't harm yourself. But
yeah, I think this is a very, I mean, it's just semantics, but I think it's an important concept to understand what is the difference between like
hurting and
harming. Yeah. Harming being like just like destroying or causing.
Damaging. Or
yes,
anything
exactly.
That might send you to the hospital.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But I still do it. Especially when I get a new toy, I'll walk around the house smacking myself with it, smacking my thighs, or it's kind of getting a feel for how you like to get hit. I look at it as like pain. It's masochist masturbation.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're learning what you like and being, finding someone you can explore with, your nose being maybes, because you can always take a couple licks of a new toy or something somebody wants to try, as long as you trust them that they know what they're doing. I've been partial to going to those big kink like events where they have like a dungeon where people have like their kits of things, or they'll have like their toys laid out and they're looking for people to bottom. And it's great because there's like a dungeon monitor or multiples who will, you know, they've checked their kit or whatever is going on. They'll usually come over and talk before you start.
And you can even go if you have a partner or a trusted friend.
Right.
You can go and like go up to somebody who is like an experienced sadist or an experienced top and say, you know, I would like to try, you know, we didn't even talk about like electrical play or, you know, or piercing or flogging or any number of things. And as we've talked about, like it can be purely for the pleasure of exploring and having that experience with somebody. Somebody who is experienced for the first time, and they can, you know, so many people are really couldn't be happier there are so many people who love to teach and are just happy as a clam,
pop people's cherries,
yeah,
or that first time and
like spreading the gospel, you know.
Yeah. And that was something I think I hesitated at first because I was like, oh, these are strangers, but when I finally realized like it's not I might not know them, but usually, especially if somebody is on the up and up, they're talking to you about everything. The first time I did needle play was with a stranger, and it was, he spent like so much time explaining like needle gauges and what they might feel like and everything in his kit. And then, you know, the dungeon monitor came over because it's the there's blood play happening. So they definitely check everything in that, like the needles are sealed that he's using, and, you know, that he had all kinds of the safety things that he'd need, and that I understood what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And this is one of those times when you don't mind somebody checking in on you, especially if you haven't experienced it before. You know, you don't have to have everything be so super sexy, especially when you're trying things out and you kind of want somebody to ask you, like, are you okay? Do you want to keep going? Because you may not know when to say no, or you may not be in that place yet, or you maybe have talked yourself into like, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to like back down. So,
it's that balance between, like being able to like surrender to a certain degree, but also keep your bearings. And honestly, that is a skill that, like, having, you know, we've talked about this, having that sense in yourself is part of how you're going to like become the player that you want to be, you know.
And don't worry about, I mean, you change and you grow, and whoever you are when you start exploring, it's okay to be that person. So if you are super cautious and hesitant, go with that. You know, until you gain more experience, you're not going to want to leap into some of the things like someone like myself would leap into, because you haven't learned what you need to learn yet. And it's not something, I always tell people, the best way to get into things is to fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to mess up a little bit. You got to kind of make that stumble before you figure stuff out for yourself, because I can tell you how things feel for me and what I love and what I enjoy and the things that make me, you know, fill me with glee, and that may not translate at all to you. So it's, don't compare your experiences to other people's. You know, use it as like a, would I want to do that? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Totally. Or I heard about that, that may, maybe that sounds good. Maybe it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But trust yourself and, you know, use caution and care, especially in the beginning. But I'm a big fan of, go buy yourself a paddle, and if you can't find somebody to hit you with it right away, hit yourself. Try it out. Or a spatula or a wooden spoon.
And when you do ask someone, you know, you might ask someone for the first time to, let's say, paddle you, who is an experienced sadist, an experienced top, you know, maybe more experienced than you. But it also might be your partner who, like, doesn't necessarily know if they like it or not, or doesn't necessarily have any experience. And, you know, in either case, I think being compassionate with yourself and open-minded and remembering that we call it playing for a reason,
exactly.
You know, even when it is stern, strict, disciplinarian, domineering scene, like, ultimately there is a sense of exploration and adventure and playfulness to it. BDSM fundamentally is not abuse. BDSM involves consent. These things are complex, but if it's something that you're curious about, then for the same reason that you explored sexuality for the first time when you were curious and you knew that there were lots of dangers and mistakes to be made, you did it anyway, and you lived and you learned, like, that's what I advise about exploring BDSM as well.
And keep in mind that people aren't infallible.
That's true.
Even like the most experienced person can fuck up.
That's true.
It can happen. And so it's keeping in mind and not putting, you know, you can trust someone but still be cautious, and you can put trust in like a situation and still, you know, mind your P's and Q's. And I think part of that is doing your own homework. And there's so many great books out there on...
Can you recommend any?
Oh, so where do I go? I like I always call The Ultimate Guide to Kink, because I just think
so
that's
great.
A catch-all.
Edited by Tristan Taramino.
Yes. It's just a great like a little bit of everything.
And there's like, also like there's like techniques, but there's also a little bit of the
anecdotal
and like the why, you know, for right. fans of this podcast, the sort of like why are people into that? And there's mm-hmm. so yeah, there's so many different
things. And I like that it gives you a little taste mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah.
And I like playing well with others.
Oh, yeah.
Melina Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And Lee Harrington.
Yes.
And I like that one because if you are super new,
that is a great recommendation.
It teaches you terms. It teaches you, like, they have a whole glossary of terms. And I love that because that you can take to, like, another book.
Totally.
And, like, use it. Like, if you're like, wait, I don't remember what that is. Let me find it here and highlight. And I like that they touch on everything from, like, the acts, but also just, like, etiquette and dress and things that can cause anxiety around play. Because, like, you know, the worst thing is you're going somewhere because you want to seek out someone to play with to possibly try, you know, these things that you've been reading about with. And then you have all this anxiety about what you're wearing or how you look or not knowing how to ask or not knowing, you know, who it's okay to ask. They even cover that. Like, they totally cover, like, maybe some relationship hierarchies or what might be okay and things to look out for. And
awesome.
I think it's just those are two that I always talk about because they're so, they give such good baselines for folks.
I also always like to recommend the anthology Macho Sluts by Pat Galifia because, ooh, have you read Macho
I
Sluts?
I have not.
Well, it's erotica and it's very well written and it's really kinky and really dirty and really fucking gay.
That sounds awesome.
So I also like to send people that
good erotica that has like real factual BDSM, unlike some books.
Any BDSM erotica will, and porn, you know, will mm-hmm. will help you to explore fantasies and be good conversation starters.
Right.
For you and your partner to figure out what you like together.
Yes, exactly.
Dirty Lola, you really live up to your name. Thank you so much for talking about one of my favorite subjects with me.
I had such a good time.
Where can humans find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, you can find me on Twitter at Dirty Lola. You can find me at Sex at a Go-Go, more about Sex at a Go-Go at sexatagogo.com. Those are like the two major places. That's where I'm usually residing.
Fantastic. Well, if you're in New York or you're ever in New York, check out Sex at a Go-Go.
You can come see me at Shag if you like feel so inclined. I'm always up for answering questions.
Awesome.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.